I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah.
I will honor change my mind and try to keep it all year. I will live my life in the past, the present, and the future. I will not shut out the lessons this podcast has taught me. Welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast. I'm Wesley Sykes. To the other side of the ether is the Marley to my Marley, Mr. Nicholas J. Eskfryer, Muppet for Hire.
I am so happy to be talking about this movie today. Like, this is not something I expected that we were going to do forever on Change My Mind, but when we did last year your favorite Christmas movie of all time, I was like, okay, that means someday we're going to have to do my favorite.
Some days today.
Exactly. But the Human Torch got denied a bank loan. Did you just make that up as part of your warp routine?
No, that's Anchorman. No. I'm not that clever at all.
I've never heard that one before.
The Human Torch was denied a bank loan.
I've never heard that one before. I like that. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why there was some... I don't know. Never mind. I lost. But anyway, it might be one of my weaker moments opening. You know, I wasn't very happy with that opening there.
Today?
Yeah, it was a weak one. I'll come up with a better one next week. I thought it was weak.
Well, okay. I will say, in fairness, when you look at this movie, that like little bit afterwards, I understand that Scrooge kind of goes through a lot, but and I know it's a different time than now, but it just seems like such a weird line. But I feel like that Michael Caine's lines are like the only ones that are pulled straight from the book, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's like as much as quotable as this movie is, it's not really that quotable at the very same time, you know?
It's all situational humor, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. And if you haven't gotten the idea yet, of course, we're going to be conducting an exit survey for Muppet's Christmas Carol, now available to stream on Disney Plus. Wow. Mm. But before all of that, Nick... I saw this on Barstool, actually, today, the Answer the Internet stuff. This is kind of a callback to a question that we had earlier, you know, well before maybe the DSG days. Wow, tripping over my own tongue here.
Mm-hmm.
If you could be one character from a TV series, who would you be?
Jim Belushi. It's an old brand.
Are you staying on brand here? Because you don't have to. You can stray. You're allowed.
No, of course I wouldn't want to be Jim. Okay, for those who are new to the show from like versus the WBSM days and the DSG days, the whole thing about the according to Jim was like I took the question far, far too literally because I looked at it as like, oh, I'm gonna just be myself inserted in this show. So like, yeah, maybe me Nick Fryer doesn't want to get inserted into Hawkeye because I'd probably fucking die in 2 seconds, mm-hmm. whereas. Now, obviously, I don't mean not, like if you're that character or whatever. No, I wouldn't want to be that. I mean, the first show that comes to my head, Wes. I mean, honestly, if I was Tommy from the Power Rangers, like aside from like the poor writing and everything, pretty kick-ass character. He dates my first. I've been seeing that meme or that question going around on Twitter. You bring that up. Who's your first crush?
Sure, yep,
of course, the Pink Ranger. Any millennial guy, pretty much any millennial guy.
Amy Jo Johnson, yeah, God's own.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I guess that, you know, from my gut, that would be Tommy from the Power Rangers Green Ranger. Well, I'm sorry, White Ranger, of course.
Okay. I'm going through now, like Rick from Rick and Morty, Rick Sanchez. Like, he would be pretty cool. You know, have a lot of access to gadgets and space, and you're a pretty smart guy. Alcoholism, not that great. You're old, not that great. So there's some pluses and minuses there.
Yeah. I would say there's definitely
some Andy from Parks and Rec. I would like that because he gets Anne and then he gets April, you know, so in the wives department, lady department, he's doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big dumb idiot, but he's lovable and he means well, kind of fails upward in life and then gets chiseled.
Yep. And now the internet hates him too. And now he won't do the Mario accent.
Well,
yep.
Well, that's Chris Pratt.
Though. All right.
Being Andy, you know,
I got to
separate the art from the artwork.
I
screwed that one up again. Mark that down.
If I could, if I could throw in another one in the mix, I know this is an animated version, but I would Gambit. I mean, he obviously, as much as, well, sure. although, Although he did fall in love with Rogue, and the heart wants what the heart wants, and she obviously mm-hmm. her powers don't allow them to physically touch. But I guess true love can conquer all, right? So he's a badass character. I love him. One of my absolute favorites.
That's true. You know, you want what you can't have.
There you go. Exactly.
Forbidden fruit. That's a nice allegory. You know, yeah. I like that. Okay. So that's good. That's a nice little smorgasbord. Maybe hit us up. Change My Mind podcast. What TV character would you like to be most?
I wonder if anybody would say they'd want to be Baby Yoda. I wonder. Yeah. Maybe
Michael
I don't
know. Scott? Would anyone want to be Michael Scott?
Yeah. Would you want to be Michael Scott, or would you just want to be like that? See, okay. Would you want to be Michael Scott, or would you want to be Jim as like the one sane person? But didn't people kind of like sour on Jim because of Pam later on, or was it just Pam?
So I think most people soured on Pam, I thought, but Jim was like almost like he's too cool. Like, all right, Jim, we get it. All those looks to the camera.
Right, right. Okay. Pam, also known as the doc of The Office, too.
Yes, of course. let's go into some trending now. Let's talk some Hawkeye.
Yes.
Of course. Season 1, episode 4, Partners. Am I right?
Oh, I hear that one. It felt too real.
No red hair with Partners, though. So don't have to worry about that, Jason Momoa. So thoughts and theories on Partners, am I right? What do you think?
Before we go into my thoughts on it, of course, Wes has already given plenty of his thoughts on Hot Guys on Hawkeyes with Goo from Mac and Goo program.
Almost.
I've said Mac and Goo quite a few times. I don't know why. But anyways,
we dropping nickels, not exactly dimes on that one. That was a nickel.
Yeah, for real. but I really enjoyed this episode too. At the, you know what's funny is we got. I don't know. Sometimes it happens where we heard about who was going to be making an appearance mm-hmm. at some point in this series. So it made sense. It was going to be in episode 4. And then I go and watch it a few days after the fact. And it's like, oh shit, this is who's fighting Hawkeye right now. Like, I'm like, who is this? Who could this be right now? Is this like Vera Farmiga under that mask? Obviously, it was stupid. But obviously, not the case. We are a spoiler podcast. We will say, of course, it was Yelena Belova.
Right. To your credit, I was also a little thrown at first, too, because I said this on the podcast, on the Hawkeyes on Hawkeye podcast, that when they were like, you know, who is I'm fighting Maya on the roof? No, I'm fighting Maya on the roof. At first, I was like, do we have a Skrull sighting here? Because now, like, my ears are up to all these Skrull sightings now that we're around Spider-Man again here.
Right.
So, you know, not that I think we'll get a Skrull in there, but, you know, Far From Home kind of had that action in there, so... but it wasn't. I was quickly reminded, like, oh yeah, that would be stupid.
Right, right. But it's still, it's not. Okay, it's not stupid. I'm not gonna agree with that. Like, you're wrong in the end. But
no, it's called spade a spade.
Although I will say, I would be pretty disappointed if, maybe not in the moment, but like after thinking about it, I would be disappointed because I was like, wait, this is street level shit. Don't start bringing in all this cosmic stuff. I don't want to deal with any of that crap with Hawkeye or with Sam Wilson.
But you like this episode overall.
Yeah, though. I like the action. I thought the back and forth was pretty funny too. I mean, you had some issues with it though, and I need to hear this.
It's not that I didn't like it. I liked the first three episodes so much more. I just thought this was kind of spinning its wheels. I didn't really know what the point was of this episode other than the Yelena reveal and the fact that we're questioning Laura Barton and her backstory and everything. We get a little bit more on the watch. Other than that, there was really nothing else that really added to the story. Like, I don't know. It didn't really do much for me.
I think when you look at it from that standpoint, that's actually pretty fair. It's a lot more fluff than in any of the episodes that we've gotten so far. Mm-hmm. However, the thing I think that bothers me less is like, if you get good fluff, then it's like, okay, like, in
yeah, it's
case,
good. It's, I'm not saying that it's
bad. Of course. But
I just wonder, like, maybe, like, instead of a 6-episode series that's like 30 minutes, maybe you do a 5-episode that's 40 minutes, and then you tack on whatever you wanted in this middle episode here, episode 4, and then disperse it throughout the rest of the series. I don't know, but that's very minor.
I think that's a fair point. Again, minor, I do agree with you on that. I think what it comes down to is this is 6 episodes, if episode 5 is supposed to like break the internet or whatever it is that's getting promised, then episode 6, we're expecting it to be kind of a big deal too. So if you're going to get those two things in those next 2 episodes, I don't necessarily mind having a slight breather. I understand your point, but we got a lot of like funny shit in the course of this episode. You could argue, I guess, that this is the worst one that we've had so far, but it's just like, compared to some of the other shows that we've gotten, this is like this still wouldn't even come close to being like that. This would be like the best worst episode.
Yeah. And again, it's still riding that even trajectory so far here, which I said is a positive, right? In previous weeks, you're going over. Now, what I will say that it might run into some issues is next week. Like you said, that hype train has kind of left the station with like breaking the internet and all that kind of stuff. Kingpin, you know, and kind of jockeying for internet space with Spider-Man this week. You know, which one is kind of going to get the headlines? Yeah. I wonder, is there going to be room for a letdown again? Because as that expectation train goes off.
Okay, so weird theory here that just popped up now. You raise a really good point about, okay, Spider-Man's coming out now and you have the end of the end of the series, scheduled for the week after the debut of the Spider-Man movie, right? The opening weekend and everything. What if we see a certain like big time Marvel character that's not Kingpin? What if we see, I don't know, a Daredevil sighting?
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking the issue could be here. It's like now the hype train is leaving and now all the speculation is bound and we don't get it. And then everyone's like, oh, it's disappointing, you know? So that's which I fell victim to before. So I am just trying to avoid that.
That's fair. I mean, at first I started as this idea popped in my head, like, well, what if Spider-Man showed up in the course of this? Cause that's
right.
Could happen too. I don't
Mephisto think Mephisto type of moment.
Yeah, that would be something. But yeah, what if we see another, like, you know, for all the stuff that ends up leaking out on all these shows, we do get surprised with certain things every once in a while.
Yeah.
So I just think
this could be more like if you think it's going to be if we're going to get a Daredevil or Spider-Man like in WandaVision when there was talk of the astronaut, right, with what's her name? There's like my astronaut friend who keeps coming there.
Do you know what I'm talking? Were they thinking Reed Richards?
Yeah, when we were thinking it was Reed Richards or someone else or something like this, and it was nobody. It was just like some chick.
Yeah, that's fair. I understand you not wanting to get into that. That's totally fair. Either way, we're pretty confident we're going to get Kingpin in this series, whether it's going to be at the very end or this episode. So we'll get that at minimum. But if it's going to break the internet, there's no way like we're not at worst getting. Like any worse than Kingpin in this episode,
right? Yeah, no, definitely. I think we're definitely getting Kingpin. I'm not worried about. I'm just happy to get this show rolling here. You know,
that'd be tough for you, for as someone who loves spoilers and someone who is also doing a speculation podcast now. It's got to be tough for you, like temper all.
But
this
I think
shit.
We even know it. Like I'm just like, aside from knowing spoilers and like liking that sort of stuff, like. If I'm just reading the tea leaves from what the show has left us so far, like. We get fat guy auto supply. We get the fat fingers, on the cheeks of Maya Lopez, a young Maya Lopez. All the references to the big guy, like this would be a really bad move by Marvel if it's not Kingpin.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what is Clint's wife's name again?
Laura.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see what if she's like going to pop up in any way.
I think she was a former SHIELD agent. Mockingbird, right? Mockingbird.
You might
know better than me.
We got her in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I thought Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was canon. I don't know. I watched a little bit of it and then it just became eh. So I'm not sure what's going on necessarily there. But yeah, if that's not canon, then sure. Then we're in business. But I feel like that was. But it could be that. But the fact that she's in Russian too, I was like, is she also an ex-Black Widow? Because that would be really cool.
Well, yeah, maybe that was going on, you know? So I would like that. Yeah, it's interesting there. So I'm very excited for episode 5. I'm also very excited for Spider-Man No Way Home, of course, coming out this week. And just to be a buyer beware, again, I love spoilers, so this isn't a warning for myself, but the embargo on reviews for the movie lifts tonight at 10:30 p.m. Pacific time. So, you know, any keyword searches you want to put into your phone to block anything or anything like that, do so now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly. Like someone, there's always somebody who like gets these things.
I mean, everything is already out there anyway.
So. Yeah, there is, Wes, but there's no way. Obviously, everything's not though at the same time because like there's so much other shit that we don't know what's going to happen. And some jackass is going to ruin it for a lot of people. So, seriously, I know it's hard for people like, oh, I don't know how to stay off Twitter. It's a lot fucking easier.
But what, I mean, we know Daredevil, right? I mean, we know there's going to be the multiple Spider-Man in there, and we got the Doc Ock, we got the five Sinister Five, all there, you know. So, you know, I don't know. There's a lot in there. Like Daredevil, I should say, is a big thing. Like, I would have loved to not have been spoiled on.
Right, but okay. So I guess you know what? This may be a matter of like different wants and everything too. You care about the story, of course. You don't just care about. But like for me, like I don't want to like you. I would have been fine not knowing what the Spider-Man thing going in. But of course, we have this great idea to have Casey on a few times, so that's going to get spoiled for us. We're gonna have him on, but we don't know the story stuff necessarily. And that's where it's like, okay, like if I don't know the story things, then I can still be fine because we knew Yelena Belova was going to show up in this show. Even before that, you and I had, before that we saw that like the whole thing with her on Instagram, how she got like suspended or whatever that nonsense was, like it was still out there that she was going to show up soon. So it was like, but I got caught off guard. I wasn't ready for it. You got caught off guard and you're on top of this shit even more than I am. So like, as long as the story doesn't get spoiled, but that's the shit I'm worried about. That's the stuff that's going to be out there. And that's what people need to tread cautiously.
I like that. So any final predictions, hopes or desires for this movie? Or again, with everything that's out there, you're just ready to go.
I'm ready to go. I mean, we're still not sure on who the sixth Sinister Six is, right? That's the one thing.
If there is one, right?
Well, I mean, Venom would, you know, make sense to kind of slot in there. I'm just wondering, like, is he gonna show up really late? And like,
what happens to Mysterio? Like,
well, we thought he was supposed to be dead, right?
Is he dead though? He's a mysterious guy. He's a mysterious guy.
I guess some would say that. Yeah, some would say mysterious. But yeah, I think that I just think there's no way that this can miss because it's just got, you have way too many characters involved. Mm-hmm. There's too many characters that people like. The biggest thing that I'm you know, waiting on right now is what's up with Doctor Strange, because just so much weird stuff. Yeah. Because that prediction that you had, I think is going to hit. I really hope it does. I'm not going to be bummed, like in a greater sense, like on the movie sucks because Wes's prediction wasn't right. But I'm just going to be bummed because like yours makes so much sense, and there's so many crazy theories get thrown out there, but yours just like it was like a seamless prediction. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, hey, we'll go with it. I actually forget it, so don't tell me. Maybe I'll surprise myself upon it. So that's good. But real quick on Doctor Strange, the rumor is that the you want to stick around for the final end credit scene, because that's supposedly going to be the teaser trailer end credit scene there for Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. So
which Casey did say, he didn't say that was going to be it, but he said there was going to be a second trailer when we had him on before this news came out. So again, on top of shit.
He's hitting it. We've got a little more rumors here. They're circulating abound the interwebs that there's an ongoing beef between Letitia Wright, Shuri, in the MCU, and she reportedly wants out of the partnership at some point, maybe not immediately, according to a report from Giant Freaking Robot, who we just got quoted in very recently. So it's funny how that reciprocation kind of goes. So this is all in regards to the COVID vaccination and whatnot there. Now, our guy, Casey Walsh, the aforementioned Casey Walsh, says, hold the phone. It's probably just rumors, but there's probably some truth to the matter in some way, shape, or form, but maybe not fully.
Yeah, I think it sounds when I read the tweet from him, it's like there's a big thing going on. But it's not like that story apparently is Casey's words. He said it was something to the effect of fake. But there is like some issue that's happening right now. So I don't know exactly what that is. But if we're just going to sit here and speculate, right, based on what we're getting from Casey, the fact that there is, because I do trust Casey's reporting. No offense to the other guys, but I trust Casey.
Well, we know them too, right? Yeah. And they we know firsthand it's come out. Yeah.
Right. So we know there are issues, but I would tend to think that with the COVID vaccination stuff, I'm not sure what that is necessarily, but with like, she's a young actress, right? Young actor. So this is someone who's like probably not going to want to stick around forever in this role. Or if she is, she's still going to use it as leverage, because unfortunately, with the death of with Chadwick Boseman, this character becomes significantly more important in the Black Panther universe. Just like what we see with Tom Holland, right? Oh, he's like, if I'm doing this after I'm 30, then I did it wrong. Then we hear a few weeks later, right, or a week later, that Spider-Man is going to have, like, with Tom Holland, is going to have like three more movies.
So this
could be negotiation issues that are happening right now too.
Ah, see, I like that. That's an interesting take there from the financial aspect, the back door behind the scenes thing. I like that. So, yeah, see, I thought just, you know, it would be tough. Like, even if there is some truth to this, you know, given everything that's gone on with Chadwick Boseman and his sudden death and having to rewrite and reshift everything around with Black Panther 2, like, again, you know, maybe they want to move on, and maybe Shuri and Letitia Wright doesn't want to be, you know, part of this past Black Panther 2. Mm-hmm. But it's just too far down the pipeline to like do major rewrites for a character, and they can maybe work around some things here and there and kind of rewrite some things, but maybe not totally, because she's is and was a big part of the movie and the series, right?
Yeah, and everybody really wanted to see her take that step forward because she is a good actress too. So it's
And she was great. It was fun, right? I mean, one of the bright spots about it. So we'll definitely wait and see how that unfolds. I'm sure we'll get some more updates and rumors and speculation, all that. But not rumor. I don't think this is a rumor. I think this is, dare I say, fact, Nick.
Yes. Yeah. This is from our guy, Casey Walsh, the editor in chief over at Geeks Worldwide, where you can read Docs and I's reviews from comic books, among other things, but mainly comic books. But Casey also teased this. I think you may have asked him a question about this, Wes, about Ant-Man 3 movie.
And we're thinking it was Jim Carrey at first. We're talking about Jim Carrey.
Right. So this, now in Casey's article on Geeks Worldwide, where you can go and read about this a bunch, they do mention that it's a spoiler, so I want to give everybody that same warning. If you want to fast forward maybe a minute, I think you'll be safe. But apparently, Corey Stahl, who played Aaron Cross in the original Ant-Man.
Yellow Jacket,
yep. According to Casey, he is going to play MODOK in Ant-Man 3.
Now, that is, like, very, very crazy, if you think about it, right? Because was it the Yellow Jacket or the Wasp helmet that was in Loki that we saw, right? In the
Darren Cross. Jeez, I just got I'm sorry. I needed to get that out.
Aaron Cross is
in another movie. I think that's another character. But, yeah, we did see that. I think it was in Loki.
I don't know if it was the Wasp or if that was the Yellow Jacket's helmet. But either way, I think that was interesting. And also, what happened to him, right? Because he just kind of zaps away.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of Ant-Man, right? So we don't really know what happens. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes and how he kind of works his way out of it. Maybe he's the one that was in that quantum realm city that we were talking about. Because remember when we were talking about Casey last week, you know, Kang is going to want to rule the quantum realm.
Right.
Right. And I remember I was like, people were speculating that he already ruled that city. So like, I don't know. So maybe that timeline didn't work out yet.
Yeah. The Ant-Man shit really crosses over between science and like cosmic-esque kind of. So
I'm here for it though.
Yeah. That gets weird. I mean, yeah, Ant-Man can right now kind of take whatever path they want with it, with those characters, because they just have fun. Like we talk about fluff. I don't think that they have fluff, but they have such a good witty banter that they can get away with those kinds of things and kind of go with whatever direction they want, because they just make it funny.
And with Kang, not just Kang, but Jonathan Majors playing Kang, I think you have a lot more excitement and anticipation behind that too, on top of the first two movies.
I would really like to know though, like, was this always the plan with Corey Stahl, or was it like, you know, he's just not like, that's it, the one-off, you know, did he want to come back? Did they ask him back? Or
I think it's almost better if it's not, if they were able to find a loose string and be able to attach it somewhere and tie it up. I think that's kind of savvy writing and editing. You know, we can't give Marvel the ultimate credit of being like, they knew all along, you know?
I really think if Kevin Feige's not doing this already, I'd be stunned, but he should be keeping notes on a lot of these different things that happen. Like it's one, I understand there may be some things you don't want to share, but down the line, like some semblance of like a tell all like Marvel book where you could just like, it could just be one page by and do like a 300 page book.
Who was the press secretary during Bush administration, 9/11, right? Who had like the minute by every 9/11 anniversary, he kind of gives like the minute by minute presidential log updates of what happened. Like I want to look inside of Kevin Feige's, mosaic of the MCU over the years and how everything came out. A nice tell-all. That would be awesome.
Every Marvel fan would absolutely buy that.
Now we're talking. That's a nice, that would be a nice stocking stuffer.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Before we get over to talk about our comic book minute, speaking of literature, I saw the Secrets of Dumbledore trailer came out. Of course, this is part of that prequel universe I need to know your thoughts as our Harry
Fantastic
Potter guy.
Beasts. Yes. Yep,
Fantastic
Beasts. Yeah. So I haven't been too in on this series. I've tried to. I watched the first one, fell asleep through it multiple times, fell asleep through it again. Kind of the timing on my end there. So, but I also wasn't really pulled into it. The second one looked much better. Excuse me. Never got around to watching it. And the third one, this one looks great too. I love it. Jude Law is Dumbledore. Sounds awesome. Looks like we get like a different Professor Snape, maybe a quick glimpse of it. Maybe my eye didn't were deceiving me there, but it looks fun. They make a mean trailer. I'm probably not going to see it.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, there's you got so much to watch, right? You can't watch everything.
Although this one, like as you get closer, you know, to the original content, you know, maybe I'll give this more of a look.
I think I've seen both of them. I know the ending on one of them. I just can't remember like the other. I think I've seen both of them. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it. I thought they were both rock solid. I didn't watch it at night, so I didn't fall asleep. It's easy to happen at our age. Mm-hmm. But I think I'll end up seeing the third one. Of course, Lauren's a big Harry Potter fan, so I think she's into the Fantastic Beasts stuff. We haven't talked about those as much, but I think we'll end up seeing that one. Another movie kind of, you know, in our world, but adjacent, Sonic 2. Did not see the first Sonic. You and I both ripped the first
I think
animation.
I did watch parts of that, actually.
You saw? Okay, you didn't watch the whole thing, though.
No, okay. I think it's since it's been on HBO Max or something like that. You know, I've watched it.
HBO Max.
It might be off, but at some point it was on.
I might give it a chance then, but I'm totally in on Sonic 2. I got to find a way to watch this because Knuckles was my favorite character from the Sonic universe. As much as I like that cartoon without him for the most part. And holy shit. Like Idris Elba voicing him too. I'm so in on this. This looks visually outstanding.
Oh, Idris Elba's voicing? No.
Yeah, this Knuckles? Oh, yeah. It was bad. You got to watch the trailer. It's fucking awesome.
Didn't see the trailer. I might be out on the movie now because the wife is a big fan of Idris Elba. Kind of has the hots for Idris Elba here, so I'm not sure if I'm a big fan of that. He's also a DJ. I don't know if you knew that. He's like a pretty good like techno DJ. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Idris Elba. That's the correct way.
I don't know. Whatever it is, I want to say it opposite now because he's got the attention of my wife.
Okay, I'll continue to say Idris. You say Idris. So that way, one of us. I want to be in solidarity with you on this one. So.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Let's move over to the comic book minute real quick. Some big ones this week. We got Robin and Batman issue 2. This is a 3-issue series from Jeff Lemire. Outstanding first issue. Already got a chance to look at the second one. Outstanding as well. King Spawn issue 5 is out this week, as is New Burn issue 2. Joe and I got a chance to talk to Chip Zdarsky a while back about New Burn. And, of course, Sean Lewis. We talked to him about King Spawn a while back as well. So if you guys want to hear more in those series, go listen to those episodes on TLDR. But New Burn, we've got a chance to look at the first 5 issues of New Burn, and it's an awesome series. Already optioned for a show. The writer's working on that. Speaking of writers we've had on the show a lot, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's We Have Demons is available on issue 3 is available on Comixology this week. And then for Marvel Hulk issue 2, loved the first issue. You know I'm not a Hulk guy, but I know, Donny Cates is writing this, and I didn't get to finish reading the second issue before we hopped on here, Wes, but it had a good start. So I'm in on a Hulk series. I'm blown away, but I'm in. That's it for everything new this week. Of course, you can pick them up at your local comic shop on Wednesday, except for the Comixology book. You have to subscribe for that. TLDR will be doing its comic book gift guide on Tuesday this week. Of course, the audio drops on Wednesday, so make sure you guys listen to that after you listen to this review that we have planned for you guys today.
I have a new tagline for TLDR.
Ooh.
Putting the lit in literature.
Ooh, look at that.
Huh? Think about it. That's a shirt. That's something. You jot that down there. You know?
I'm doing that right now. Why don't you tell everybody what we're talking about today while I do that?
Well, yes, of course, for our main topic here, while I'm just throwing out merch ideas left and right, a Muppets Christmas Carol made from 1992, hitting the Wayback Machine here. Of course, we'll be conducting an exit survey. The Muppet characters tell their version of the classic tale of an old and bitter miser's redemption on Christmas Eve.
The cast and crew for this is directed by Brian Henson, starring Michael Caine as Ebenezer Scrooge, Gonzo as Charles Dickens, who narrates, of course, throughout the story, Rizzo the Rat as himself, Kermit the Frog as Bob Cratchit, Robin the Frog as Tiny Tim. Didn't know that's who played Tiny Tim.
This is new, yeah.
Good to know. I thought this was a Ron Howard film. I thought he was affiliated with this somehow too. Miss Piggy plays Emily Cratchit. Fozzie Bear as Fozzie Wig. Let's see. Stephen McIntosh as Scrooge's nephew Fred. Meredith Braun as Scrooge's ex-fiance Belle. Statler and Waldorf as Jacob and Robert Marley. Sam the Eagle as young Scrooge's teacher. Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker as the charity workers. And then Bee Bunny as a hapless urchin.
Fantastic job here. I thought you would have a little fun with that one, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. Amazing act, amazing cast with this one.
It's a star-studded cast, if you will.
Unbelievable.
And this movie hauled in $29 million, $27.8 million of which was domestic, so not big overseas. But 1992, that's pretty good for a Muppet movie here. And it has the sixth highest box office rating for the Muppets franchise. Let me click on this link real quick. The top overall is the Muppets movie released in 2011 that made $88.6 million, surprisingly.
Well, and that's also, you would, you know, you factor in inflation, and I would imagine then things are, the scales are going to get tipped a little bit differently.
Was that Jason Segel in that?
Yes, that was Jason Segel. Actually, I did see that one, and it had like that new Muppet, I think, too. Scooter, I think, was his name.
I think
name.
So, yeah.
I think it was pretty solid. I don't know. Must have been in college when I saw that. But anyways, I'm not like this crazy, like Keith is this Muppets fanatic, right?
Big Muppet fan. Yeah. And big Muppet guy.
I think Joe or Shime, I can't remember, likes the Muppets quite a bit too. And of course, your significant other is a Muppets fan as well too, right?
Oh yeah. They love, Jules loves Muppet Christmas Carol. She also loves Muppet Treasure Island as well. Of course, she can't be a part of this podcast. Maybe, you know, she can type in something on the way home, maybe voice to text while she's driving home here. Maybe add in what she likes here. But again, this very memorable movie for people of all ages, genders, and denominations, if you will. It has a 7.7 out of 10 on IMDb, a 76-86 split on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 4.7 out of 5 on Google reviews, with an astounding 95% of Google users liking this movie.
Yeah, damn straight. I don't know why that's not 100%. What I was going to say is I'm not the biggest Muppet guy in the world, but you know, why don't we just move right into the tweet length review and score for this? I love this movie. This is my favorite Christmas movie of all time. Brings back so many memories for me. This is the only version of A Christmas Carol I ever want to watch. Objectively, I think this is one of the absolute best Christmas movies of all time. Laughs, classic story, and kid-friendly.
I love it. Yeah, so I think we're right in that range to scale. I give it an 88 out of 100. Perhaps the best rendition of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Story, A Christmas Carol, rather. Great puppetry work. I never saw a single hand, so that's great.
Yeah.
And I really buy Michael Caine living amongst the puppets as equals. Like that just, like, I never questioned it for a second. I'm just completely bought in.
Yeah, it's really funny to put it that way, but yeah, this is like this serious actor and everything, right?
Yeah, it just works. But it just fits.
He takes on his role very seriously. Now, I originally gave this a 95 out of 100 for my score, of course, very high, but this is absolutely near and dear to my heart. However, I am going to bump it down just a tick for the Disney Plus version. I will say that you're probably only you're getting like a 92 because there's a song that gets cut out in this movie, and I was watching it, and I was like, wait a minute. Did I just forget something? Because I hadn't watched it in a while, and I figured, okay, maybe it's just me or whatever. But then,
did the Shycoms not like something, and they have to go and take something out?
Apparently, something came up because well, we did a little research. We'll get to it a little bit later in the course of our exit survey. But I'm a little upset that they ended up pulling a certain part out. No, legitimately, nothing in this movie has any reason to be pulled out. But of course, Disney finds
it's
a way.
It's just great, wholesome fun.
Yeah. Now, when we go to the most rewatchable scene, you always highlight this, Wes. It's more action type stuff. But with this, you don't really get Muppet action. I mean, it's not like you, other than Rizzo falling out of a building.
Did we see any Piggy and Kermit the Frog little action up there in the bedroom Christmas Eve night? I don't know.
There was some stuff definitely in the doorway because Kermit had to get Piggy to stop.
That's a good point. Yes.
But the opening song for me, I think most of these songs are like rewatchable scenes because there's a little bit of humor mixed in, a little bit like Christmassy with it too. But Marley and Marley and the opening songs are like the two most rewatchable scenes. But I think any song you can kind of say that about.
Yeah, and I think these first two questions that we have lined up here, the most rewatchable scene and what was your favorite song, that I think these might be kind of interchangeable
at
this point, because I didn't really have something down for rewatchable scene. I think the whole movie is very rewatchable. It's always, you know, high up on our Christmas movie marathon list every year when December hits. So, you know, I think the whole movie is, again, 90 minutes or so, so you kind of fire right through it. If we're going with like favorite songs, I love the Marley and Marley song.
Oh, so good.
That's great stuff there with the Statler and Waldorf group. I could listen to them just, you know, sweet, wise crack people all day there. But also, it feels like Christmas with the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of his.
Yeah, that was a really good
fun song.
I would say Marley and Marley is probably my number two song. Obviously, a really quick one. I would say It Feels Like Christmas is probably three for me, but it's also longer, so maybe I could slide it up to two. But the opening song, I think it's Scrooge on, like, if you go try and download the soundtrack on iTunes, I think it's just Scrooge. But I know it as, like, There Goes Mr. Humbug. All the different insults. There goes Mr. Grimm. There goes Mr. Skinflint. It's like all this stuff is like, it's just ripping this guy apart, and I absolutely love it. And always just, I usually get a little chuckle out of it every time I watch it. But it's also like, oh, it's starting. It's that time. We're here. It's getting rolling. So I love that one.
Get the popcorn ready. You're sitting down on the couch. Maybe you're cozying up next to a fire here. We got the lovely Miss Julia here saying Marley and Marley always scared me so much as a kid, Nick.
How
do you feel about that from your childhood memories?
It definitely gave me this scared me a little bit. The doorknob specifically was what scared me the most. Like when you start yelling, even still this first, like watching it this time around, it's like, shit, that's loud.
How about Scrooge himself? Were you intimidated at all? Again, kind of in that opening scene where you see the feet kind of shuffling. It's cold, dark alleys. Mm-hmm. He's in all black. He's got the black hat.
Not so much now, but definitely as a kid, he did scare me a little bit. But he was very, like, he's like,
I hope he wouldn't scare you now.
This is like,
you're 30 years old.
Well, I watched The Conjuring one time and tell me you don't get scared from shit. But anyways, what was I going to say? He definitely scared me a little bit as a kid. And I mean it, like, this is the first Christmas Carol that I watched too. And I've seen other ones since, but I still always feel like he captures the essence of the character perfectly. Also, when you talk about scary shit, the one thing that is like a little bit visual, like, okay, this is kind of weird, is the Ghost of Christmas Past. Because like I remembered her looking more like a kid when I was a kid, and watching it this time around, it's like, oh my god,
I don't really know what her deal is. Like,
I think she's a Muppet.
Is it a light though? Like, is she supposed to be like a glowing? Like, I don't know. The whole thing's very off to me.
She's freaky, man. But the as far as the songs go, I do want to make good on that tease from a few minutes ago. So there is a song that is omitted when you watch the Disney Plus version. And I'm curious if Julia has ever picked up on this and watched
it. I did not know this, so hand up.
Okay, so I'm assuming that she didn't notice it either, because she would have told you. But Belle, who is Ebenezer Scrooge's ex-fiance, we see her a couple times in the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yep.
The second time is at the engagement, when they're talking about their engagement. And there's like a little bit of music sets in at one point, but I was expecting a full-fledged song, but we get a jump cut to somewhere else, like when the music starts. And as I'm watching it with Lauren, because she's never seen it at all, this is her first time watching it.
Oh, okay. Did she like it? Did you have a good time?
She liked it a lot, yeah. But I watched it, I'm like, huh, did I just misremember? Because I haven't watched it in a few years. Just my own fault, whatever. Just don't make time, different things. And I was like, what the hell is – what happened here? And then I go and do a little bit of research before the show, and this is all via Cinema Blend. Apparently, they cut the song completely, and as the story goes, Jeffrey Katzenberg, still a bigwig at Walt Disney Studios at the time, I guess, had the number cut from the film for the reason you'd expect from any typical Disney movie, the kids. Katzenberg wanted the song deleted because they felt kids – would view it as a speed bump along the road of all the Muppet and Michael Caine action.
So. Crazy. I don't understand that at all. Jules also remembers the song, by the way. And she knew it was omitted as well. So she was right there with you on that one. That seems like some corporate BS.
So dumb. I mean, it's not even like it's an emotional song, but like the kids learn stuff from these movies and everything. How often do we talk about the X-Men animators teaching us shit? But yeah, it's
I know. So annoying. That's some BS there. I as honorable mention, might put one more sleep till Christmas. I love a little Kermit the Frog type of voice.
Okay. Yep. I like the little ditty with him and Tiny Tim when they're walking home the first time we see Tiny Tim. I don't know why, but like that visual really sticks with me. It's maybe just Kermit's legs. I don't know.
That's good stuff. I don't like to look at those. Yeah, those are nasty. All right. What do you think aged the best? Certainly not Kermit's legs.
No, I think the movie in general ages extremely well.
Of course.
It's still an outstanding movie all these years later. I still love it, even though they cut the bell part. The comedy is outstanding too. It all plays very well. But I think you hit the nail on the head for why this movie, what ages best from this movie.
It's the Christmas spirit for all ages. Whether, again, you're 4 years old, 5 years old, young kid getting introduced to the Muppets for the first time, or 30-year-old showing it to your kids, or whatever the case is, like you get caught up in the Christmas spirit. It's nice to watch and return to this movie. There's a reason why all these Christmas movies are like staples, and you have these Christmas movie marathons and this whole idea of that. It's great. The rewatchability is through the roof.
Absolutely. I don't understand. Now, admittedly, I'm not going out there looking for a ton of like Muppet stuff to watch, right? But I feel like with the Muppets, that is absolutely a thing that adults and kids can kind of come together and appreciate. Like, I know that like Doc and like other people who listen to the DSG have like that show Bluey, and I see other shows that get cited like that are kids shows, and I've seen some
Coco Melon is one I hear recently. I saw that. I don't know if you saw the animation on Netflix, though. That looks kind of trippy. I'm not a big fan of that.
I haven't seen any of it, so I'll have
it's
to
weird.
Check
it's
that
a
out.
Metaverse animation.
Coco Melon just sounds weird in general, but like the Muppets, like. I don't know, like we used to get stuff that was like four parents and four kids. And I know they're like with some of those things that are four parents are like hiding things underneath, like with Shrek, right? There's a lot of different like sexual stuff that we didn't necessarily know or whatever. But I don't understand, like the Muppets doesn't have that. Like it's just, it works. It's like wholesome fun. It's puppets so kids are going to like it. Mm-hmm. There's humor that everybody can kind of like get along with. It's all situational stuff. I just don't get why they don't
have
silly
zaniness, you know?
Yeah. Why don't we have
wall antics?
Just give me more Muppets.
I got great back and forth banter. Yeah, they could solve the world's problems. That's what I think.
I think I'm just going to go on a Muppet binge this holiday season instead of watching a bunch of Christmas stuff. Why not?
Put the Muppets in the White House.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I'm in.
Kermit Fozzie 2024.
Okay, I'm going to – I was going to say Miss Piggy, but I don't know if I'm ready for that shit. She's even – when she says to what was it? When Scrooge like, I'm about to give you a raise. She says, and I'm going to raise you off the pavement. That's one of my favorite lines that I did not remember at all from a kid. It's perfect.
Miss Piggy would be so quick to jump into war. We would be in World War 3, 4, and 5 simultaneously.
She's nuts. But she was – that was one of the best lines of the whole movie. The rat, the mice with the cheese, that whole thing. I just want some cheese, sir. That's another one. Like I vividly remember as a kid too. There's so much of it.
The one that Jules always loved was when Kermit is asking Scrooge to put another coal in the fire for the bookkeeper, and they're like, "What are you cold?" And they're like, "No, it's like island, tropical island time." And they all start like singing like an island song.
Yes, heat wave.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, heat wave. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They have so many. I love, I feel bad for the little rabbit dude that we were talking about before, but his whole stick too, where he has the wreath thrown at him and everything. It's just
multiple times. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. And Rizzo too. I mean, we'll talk about him more, I think a little bit in a sec, but, before we continue with our praise, why don't we get to what will age the worst? You got a couple for this, kind of.
Just Scrooge being a ruthless landlord, preparing to evict tenants on Christmas. I mean, he has this whole thing about Christmas is the harvest time for moneylenders and money, loan sharks and all that stuff. So I thought that's like really ruthless. Same thing about Marley and Marley, right?
Yeah, they said, well, remember we put all the, when we closed down, was it the orphanage and all the kids were out on the street?
Yeah. You jerks.
Unbelievable. I think, what did he call December? I think he called it foreclosure season, I think is what he said. Something to that effect. It's funny. As a kid, I just never knew what he actually did. Because it's just like, I'm just there. I know he's an angry dude. Right. And I'm just like enjoying the puppets and whatever. But yeah, he's a total bastard.
The worst type of person here. Coming for his pound of flesh.
Yep.
And Scrooge's stocking cap. Not a big fan. I'm not sure how many people are wearing that in 2021.
Yeah, but it's the times. I mean, it's a period. It's like, you know, it's a period piece, right? It's from it, this is written in 1840s.
I don't know. Maybe you get something, some of the underwear with like the double pouch, like the one thing for your balls and the other thing for your junk.
Oh,
to separate helps it breathe a little bit better.
Well, I will stay up in the head region for my nominee for what will age the worst, and it's Scrooge's hair.
Get better sleepwear overall. Like, I can't imagine you sleep very well. That could get tied up around your neck. I don't know. Like,
hey, this is the same man who slept with the fire poker.
Does that help your sleep apnea?
He slept with a fire poker. He can sleep with anything. So,
that's a point.
But his hair is pretty rough. I will say that. Like, you know, I would just commit to, you know, figure out what you're going to do. I know you don't have, you know, keeps or whatever it is that's out there, but like, just, you know, figure out what your deal is. It's pretty brutal. But you know, as a quick aside, like, looking at, there's obviously a lot of stories that have like aged, this withstood the test of time and everything, right? But when you look at this one, the Scrooge and humbug, like those two words now like are synonymous with the this holiday season and everything.
Humbug, yeah. Like, I don't even know what that means.
Oh, I looked it up earlier.
Is it like go screw? Like,
I will look it up in a second. But it's like to have those two things. You wrote this like almost 300 years ago now, right?
That, mm-hmm.
Or almost whatever, or 200 years, something like that. But it's just everybody still loves it. Like, it's still very like well respected, highly regarded. Obviously, it was well written and all that stuff too. You know, some stuff's a little bit like of the time, but it's just so humbug.
He's okay, Charles Dickens.
Humbug is a deceptive or false talk or behavior, or it is a hard candy, especially one flavored with peppermint.
Oh,
so, there you go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
all right, we got that done. I like that. All right. What do you think? Who had the best performance by a side character here, Nick?
I think you had all the nominees pretty much laid out pretty well, Wes.
When you talk about the Christmas spirit, I mean, I think it starts with Fred, just the jolliest of the jolly young men.
It's him, and then there's another guy who's pretty jolly, too, that I think you said was your favorite character.
That's true, too. Yes, of course. The Ghost of Christmas Present, maybe one of the great additions to a Muppet movie. That has to be a real person in that. I imagine that's more like a mascot suit than a puppetry.
Has to be. Yeah, but his mouth moves, right? So
yeah. So maybe some animatronic action there. I don't know. Who knows? But I thought he was fantastic. Another jolly old guy. I would spend my time with him. Kind of reminds me of Hagrid. Like, I'd have a beer with
he
that guy.
He does. He absolutely reminds me of Hagrid. By the way, as a kid, did the Ghost of Christmas Past scare the shit out of you? Because this one used to terrify me.
Yes. Yeah. Not a big fan. Not a big fan of the Christmas Past.
I meant to say Christmas Future. I'm sorry. Christmas Future. Jesus. You knew what I was talking about Christmas Future. Past scares me now. Future is the one that scared me as a kid.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't picture the Christmas Future at the moment.
It's the Grim Reaper with the big with the empty.
Oh, head. Yeah.
I thought, okay, so we're not on the same page. It sounds about right. No sickle in this. I think Disney would have cut that out if he had an actual sickle.
See, I watched this movie 2 weeks ago, and then kind of like on YouTube, you can watch the whole movie in 2 or 3 minute clips. It's all in a playlist, so I was just kind of jumping through different parts before we started here to kind of refresh myself.
Well, I spoke anyway, so it was my fault. But the other nominees I know you had jotted down too were Marley and Marley, of course, played by Statler and Waldorf, right. And then Rizzo the Rat, who I think when we're talking about side characters,
I think you're right.
Probably got to go to Rizzo.
I thought Rizzo the Rat, I thought he might be too much involved in the movie, might not be a side character. He's one of the first characters introduced alongside Gonzo.
Charles Dickens.
Correct. Yeah, my mistake.
Yes. But I mean, if I'm thinking about main characters, it's Scrooge. I don't know, actually. That's a good point because Gonzo and Rizzo will probably get the second and third most screen time. Right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, and he's great. Don't get me wrong. I love him. Uh-huh. And his 1,200 brothers.
I would probably say Marley and Marley then gets my vote if we're taking Rizzo out.
Yeah, I have a tough time going against Marley and Marley. It's the Ghost of Christmas Present for me. He seems like a fun hang. I would love to go like out in the night on the town. Like, he's coming to a bachelor party every time.
And, you know, with Marley and Marley too, as a kid, again, because this was the first Muppets movie I saw, I was so thrown off when I saw, I mean, not Muppets movie, first, Christmas Carol version that I ever saw. When I saw a different one and it was a different Marley, like, I mean, it was just one Marley, I was like, wait a second, did Muppets change it? Like,
right.
What the fuck? But it's like, I don't care afterwards, but it really threw me off.
Why is Charles Dickens a liar? Like, why is this version of his own book not even the same thing?
I mean, he's in this movie, and then all this happens, and it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I know, but isn't that weird when you watch remakes and like the little renditions, like you think are canon, and you're like,
nah, not at all. It's very rare when that happens. But speaking of the Marleys too, as much as they had one of the best performances by a side character, I also think when we talk about who lost the movie, they have to be considered too, because I mean. Mm-hmm. They're in hell. They're in chains. They're getting, you know, punished for their wrongful deeds. So they're up there.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's there are big losers. Scrooge is also a pretty big loser, although he's, you know, redeeming very much so in this. So he's also a winner in some ways. But you have the ex here. Now I'm interested to see why.
Scrooge's fiance. Well, I think, you know, okay, so he was a son of a, you know, he was a bastard himself and everything. Sure. But he so she was still in love with him, and then he basically chose, like, I guess financial stability and security over her. That's got to be tough. So you lose that. Then later on, you find out everybody's—I don't know if she was still alive, but like now everybody loves him. So it's like now you're seeing your ex thrive, and he's got all this money too. So probably not ideal. And then also, what's the late development that her big scene gets cut from this movie on Disney Plus?
Now like, that's the best point you made.
That's the you know, save the best for last. It's bullshit.
I could swing this all around. Why would she want to waste her time with a guy named Ebenezer Scrooge?
Who's terrible like name.
Middling as a partner. You know, like she should be waiting around the best years of her life, her best baby making years, her prime years, waiting around for some guy to maybe get his act together. No.
Okay.
He's not ready to commit. He keeps pushing it off. No, she's got to go off and go find another prospect.
She still loves him, though. But that's a fair point. That is a fair point.
Can't
but...
be strung along, you know?
So I guess really at the end of it all, it's the actress who played Scrooge's ex that took the biggest L. So that would be...
I hope she got royalties or something for that, you know?
Meredith Braun. I mean, she still makes an appearance, you know, in two different scenes, but bullshit. Like, but that's still like your part. Like, I've never seen this actress anywhere else, so...
That's your time to shine, right? Yeah.
The other one I put up there was the Ghost of Christmas Past, just because she's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, it's unnerving.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I think you can go anyway.
And you can't live in the past, right? I mean, anyone who is kind of a loser anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those guys who are still wearing the Letterman jackets, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, absolutely. Don't want to live in the past.
That's it. Still got it.
Didn't see that coming.
Who won the movie, Nick?
The people. I think we won the movie because this is a great movie. It's a classic.
I love it. Yeah, I think the holidays win too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It's just put it around. It's the kids fire it up. They have a good time. You have a good time. You know, I like that. I'll also say Ebenezer Scrooge for a couple of the reasons I mentioned previously. Very redemptive type of arc. He comes full circle. He sees the error of his ways. I think Jesus Christ would really appreciate that. So, yeah, hats off to him.
Yep. Yes. And I think you had one other nominee, or is that it?
The Cratchits. Yeah. I forget why I put them down there, though.
Well, maybe because Tiny Tim didn't die in the end?
I think so. And they're able to all get together at the end. I forget why I put that there.
They're a big, happy family in Canada. Mm. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good reason. But that is our Muppets Christmas Carol exit survey, unless you have anything to add.
No, it's just great. Like, yeah, there's not much to pick at. Yeah, like you said, we could kind of nitpick things here with Hawkeye and say it was, you know, not our best episode, even though everything else was really good. Mm-hmm. This one, I don't think you really have to. Just sit back, soak it in. It goes down smooth every time.
If you have kids, or if you're like watching your nieces and nephews or whatever, I highly recommend you put this one on. If they're under five, it might be tougher. I don't know. I don't have kids. So I don't know what ages things are tougher to comprehend, but it's an easy one for them to enjoy because you have the puppets.
Yeah, the kids are smart. They absorb things.
That's true. But the thing about where the bell gets cut, that's more if you've seen it before, it's going to annoy you. Other than that, it's a 95. It's still a great movie, like, regardless. But
can't go wrong here.
All right. Time to turn into the Discharge Depot.
All aboard. Right.
I see. You know, one time I thought you were getting tired of it, and now you've extended your little horn thing there.
Well, I felt rejuvenated. So the wife was giving me some shit about it before, saying you shouldn't do it. Like, it's not coming across like you think it is. And I had a little bit of self doubt for a moment.
What?
But that, now I've regained my confidence.
Wow!
And I'm back with a vigor. Yeah.
I just wow. I just figured, you know, you've done it so many times. I just, at some point, Wes is going to get tired of doing that.
No, I faltered. I had a little shakiness, a little spurt at the yips. But now I'm back. I'm feeling good.
I'm proud of you. Don't let her
Rick and Keel in the outfield.
Unbelievable. She's trying to tear you down. She's supposed to be your better half.
Tell me about it.
I'm so glad we didn't have her on the show. But tell me what's been going on with you since we last met.
Yes, I do have to tell you this because you were not there for it. Christmas at the Kowloon, our DSG Christmas holiday extravaganza bonanza spectacular. Was a great success. It was my first time there. I was blown away by the pomp and circumstance of the place. Andy Wong was a terrific man. I shook his hand.
Oh, wow.
It was an honor. And had some delicious food and some delicious Mai Tais. Not a big sugary sweet type of guy. You know that, Nick.
Yeah,
I think we're kind of the same boat as far as tastes go for poisons and that sort of thing. Mai Tais, delicious. Had a bunch of them.
Yep. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, definitely when it comes to my alcohol, I am not that at all. If you guys watch the show, you see I usually got some scotch in my hand. But so is Andy Wong shaking his hand? Is it like a Sinatra kind of thing? Like, is that a big deal?
I think so. I think it's a big deal.
Okay.
You said Sinatra. You know, I kind of felt like Ray Liotta in Goodfellas when we're walking through and he's going through the Coca Cabana. We're walking through. I'm a little buzzed up. I got my drink in my hand. We're going through. The whole place is huge. It's like a factory, you know, and there's all this stuff going around. But have you ever been there before?
I have not. No. I will go there at some point. I have not, though.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It seems like that kind of thing. Like, if you've visited Boston enough, like, you should be going there at some point. It's just, it's like such a thing. Obviously, it's in Saugus, but still close enough. But I was bummed I couldn't go. It's my own fault, really, in the grand scheme of things, I guess, and scheduling and whatever. But I am very glad that you guys had fun.
And thank you. I'll say this on the air, Nick. Thank you for sending the Venmo to buy a drink there. Although I missed it and didn't get it at the time. And how I found out about this was Doc first saying it. I mean, that bastard. He's sending one host it, not to the other.
Yep.
He sent it to both, though. So I appreciate it.
Yes. I also got one for Billy. So if Joe went and got two on my dime, then he stole a drink from Billy. I just want that to be on the record.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to check with him on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
I had a feeling, though. I really did. I'm like, Wes is not going to see this. And Joe, of course, is going to say that I bought him his first round. And he'll probably say I bought Billy's two. And then Wes is going to be like, what the fuck? As you should. What the fuck? Why did Nick not get me a drink too? And then, like, I would have been like, well, Wes, I did. Just check your freaking phone.
Yeah. And that's usually the appropriate response to most things in my life. Just check your phone.
Yeah.
But It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is also back. And I think they have four episodes out right now. Not their best. Hitting for average. I think they're losing a little bit. Yeah. A little bit of juice. But it's still good stuff. It's funny. I enjoy it.
As for me, I got a tree. We got a fake tree. That's 6 feet tall.
This is huge for you, Nick.
That's right. Cause we've
talked about this in previous pods.
Yes. I have that tiny tree, which I do have. It's sitting on the window to my left. Then behind the computer screen, a little bit over on the other side of the room is a fake tree. Got a little tiny, modest one. You know, obviously I don't have the biggest place. It's a condo and everything. Not a homeowner. Not a homeowner. Like,
but you own it though.
Well, I'm not a house owner, I guess is the best way to put it. Yeah. I caught myself there too. So it's a little bit tinier, but it's a, you know, fake tree and everything. So I'm very excited about it. Finally, I caved, right?
I love this, Nick, because for all of the Christmas spirit that a Muppet Christmas Carol has, your apartment lacked.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely. I definitely. Well,
I'm happy. This is a big step.
Laura and I started seeing each other around like a little bit before Christmas time. So she had been over my place like late in that time of year. So she saw my tree and it's like, it's that tiny little shrub. And she's like, wait, what? That's your tree? What the fuck?
Good. I'm happy. She was like, no, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm happy. She was like, no, we're not letting this happen.
It's just more because it's my place and it's small and I live on the 8th floor of my building. Like, that's the biggest issue. Like, this came in a box, so it works out well.
That's part of the holiday spirit. Get in the spirit, Griswold. Let's go.
Yes. I guess you should be calling me Scrooge early in the grand scheme of things. I guess that'd be appropriate. But speaking of humbug, also watch The Grinch, which is my lady friend's favorite Christmas movie, the Jim Carrey version. Which I like.
She likes that movie.
I like it.
Jules loves that movie too. It's very off-putting. All the makeup and the facial stuff.
It's weird. It's definitely different. But like, I mean, I guess I like the. Did you like the cartoon version too?
I like the cartoon version. Yeah, it's okay. It's just weird how obsessed Jules like loves that one.
Well, Jim Carrey is outstanding in it. He really
freaks me out, man.
It's just Jim Carrey. Yeah, but the thing that's weird about watching it this time, I feel like it's been on Hulu or something else in the past, and I had to watch it over on Fubo TV. I actually traded in for that. Got rid of YouTube TV because Fubo has Nessun. I meant to tell you that a while back.
Okay.
But we had to go watch it on there. It was through Freeform, and there was all these like deleted scenes that I've never seen before. It's like a whole new movie. There had to be at least like 15 minutes of shit that's like Laura and I have never seen before. No idea what's going on.
May have been one of the first DVDs I ever owned. Really? And I also did see that movie in theaters too, but it may have come with some of the bonus features of that DVD, you know? Some of those outtakes. I may know what you're talking about.
Did you see the then there was another remake
with Cumberbatch recently, right?
Yeah, did you watch that one?
That one I haven't watched, no.
I think I did, and it was just like, it's like whatever. It's
the story already.
Yeah, so. It's more the same. There were definitely I think there were differences, but I can't remember. But I'd love that be one where we could do like a comparison thing on at some point, our original sequel. But it's not really sequels, but we could do something
original
like that.
Original versus reboot. We could always do that too. That's a nice little play on it.
We haven't done that with most stuff. I thought about that with this, like doing a Muppets Christmas Carol versus like a Muppets Christmas.
But I haven't watched that before. Okay.
I haven't either.
But it's something in the future. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. That's a good call. And then also started watching The Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime, which is starring Rosamund Pike, who is in I Care a Lot with Gary mm-hmm. Tangway and
Gone Girl.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's solid. If you're into high fantasy stuff, like it's a solid watch. Some of the CGI stuff, I mean, it's a show versus a movie, so that's, you know, a little different. And it's not Disney backing it. So some of it's not like the best, but some of it's also really good. So like, I think it's like a solid B range thing. Like the world and like the mythos behind it and everything is really cool. But and Rosamund Pike's great, but there's just some of it, I think, like, I think visually is more what bothers me a little bit. That's all.
Okay.
But like B range. I just, like, if you like high fantasy, I would give it a shot. For sure.
Well, and you got to be pumped too, right? The Witcher's coming out this week too. Speaking of high fantasy,
The Witcher and Book of Boba Fett are out this month, and we're finishing up Hawkeye. It's like, holy shit! There's
Spider-Man, No Way Home, Matrix.
That's right, Matrix too. Yeah, I got to see. Are we going to do a Matrix episode? Do you think?
I don't know. Depending on that, where it comes up, because The Kingsman also comes out. Don't Look Up. That's on Netflix, which is was filmed in Boston in some scenes.
Oh.
It was Leonardo DiCaprio, Jonah Hill, like a bunch of people in that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we could always push some things back too. And like, you know, if there's too many good things we want to talk about.
We might have a log jam, which is a good problem to have.
Yep. Absolutely. Speaking of log jams, it is time for... This week in
lore. Shared Gooniverse.
We are not the only ones doing a Christmas review, Wes. Hashtag Dork is doing Ernest Saves Christmas. We know what they're doing, but I don't know what the fuck Mac and Goo is doing. Exactly.
Yeah, so they did. It looks like a lot of news dumps, you know, maybe a little regular, maybe too much Chinese food.
That'll do it.
But they also just did, I know him, Goo and Rossi did a Jingle All the Way Christmas special,
right?
Which I just rewatched that last night. Very funny movie. Mm. Oh. Like funny bad, oh, okay. But it's funny.
I haven't seen that thing since I was a kid, so I fully trust you on that one. That one
Arnold plus Christmas hijinks is great.
In Sinbad, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
Sinbad like makes multiple bomb threats to the police, and it's just joked about.
Okay. Wow. Well, times different.
It's amazing.
That's something.
He's a postal worker claiming that mail packages are bombs. And then one actually is and blows up a cop.
Was that before? When did like going postal become a thing? Was that like an?
I think that's what they're playing off of.
Okay,
like makes that type sense. Of thing. Yeah, he's like, you all know we're unstable.
Yeah, there you go. Then that's it. All right, it happened at that time. Speaking of unstable, the People for Communism podcast they reviewed Home Alone last week.
They did a Home Alone review there. So again, you know, something if you want to go back and listen to ours, I think. Is it episode 92? I want to say, if I remember that correctly.
Yes, we did a original versus sequel. And, of course, mm-hmm. we did Home Sweet Home Alone. We reviewed that, which we will tell you the review score for that. We both gave it a 9.
Yeah, solid 9.
Yep. So it's the
earned
worst
all 9 of those points.
Yes.
Worked hard for him.
We always love ripping shit when we can. It's kind of like Mac and Goo do, apparently.
Right.
And then for TLDR this week, we are doing the comic book gift guide. So if you're trying to shop for something for someone else for the holiday season, if you are trying to help people who are looking for ideas for you, make sure you guys listen in. If it's just things you haven't read yet that you want to pick up yourself, we're going to have a bunch of different ideas for you, not just, you know, 2 recommendations like Joe and I normally do for this week.
All right. I love that. For the last minute comic book shopper there, holiday yes. shopper. I love that. Of course, Hawkeyes on Hawkeye, season 1, episode 5, probably on Wednesday, likely on Wednesday here. Nice. We'll talk Kingpin probably.
Nice. Or maybe Daredevil. Who knows?
Or maybe we've been speculating, what if the big bad was Sharon Carter?
Oh,
like how awful would that be?
Oh, you would hate
the power
that.
Broker comes in just to
you would
completely
hate
ruin the show.
I don't know how I'd feel about that. That'd be like, just like I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, it would be awful, Nick. That's my exactly how it
you
would
hated the Sharon Carter stuff. I did not.
Yeah, but imagine like anticipating Kingpin and then getting anyone but that, and it's like, hey, it's Sharon Carter.
Yeah, that would be. That would be a bit of a letdown. Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. And then I've heard it both ways. Season 3, episode, I think it's 12, might be 13 of Psych, but they're doing like whatever the last episode they did of Psych, they're doing the next one this week.
Right. I think we're on episode 12. I think we're there.
And then for the streamers, we have Doc, who's at Backcracker on Twitch, Shime Time on Twitch as well. And then Davey only does YouTube over on the hashtag Dork YouTube page. Next week we know what everybody's doing, right?
Yeah, it's Spider-Man No Way Home. And keep an eye out at Change My Mind Pod on Twitter for the exit survey that we'll try to get that out early to get everyone as many people involved with that as possible. But yeah, definitely keep an eye out for that, because we'll have that and we want to hear your thoughts on what should be maybe the best Marvel movie of the year.
Yeah, there's a very good chance. There's a very good chance that that happens in. Do you know when you're seeing it yet?
This weekend.
Okay.
Well, I'm not too like we had talked about. Like, I'm not worried about tickets or anything like that. Although maybe I should be at this point.
I'm more meant in terms of the exit survey, in case there's anything specifically we're going to ask. But yes, this weekend. Yeah.
Maybe Thursday night. I don't know. Maybe Friday morning.
I'm not sure when I'm going to shoot for you. Friday morning is actually a really good call. That is a really, like, Friday during the day. But I got you with Lauren. She works normal human hours. So there's
she
that.
Likes Spider-Man? Spider-Man.
I just realized, by the way, that you're...
This is 40. That's what...
Wizzo the Wat on this... I always notice it. Just notice
okay.
it.
Yeah.
I love that one. But so until next week then.
Yes. Same spider time, same spider place.